Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And there's people walking around the station in costume. If I'd known that, I would have worn my Ghostbusters shirt today. It's not Halloween yet. I didn't think it was okay to dress up today.
We don't do that on this show.
No?
We're professionals.
So you don't get you got kids. You don't dress up with your kids?
No. They dress up. A waste of money. Buy a Halloween costume. Can you wear it in 3-4 weeks?
No.
So why buy it?
Well,
it's a waste
of
money.
Yeah,
I'm
my
frugal.
My kid's dressing up like a Ghostbuster, so I got the Ghostbusters
outfit. What's your baby?
He's
little Luca.
20 months old.
He's a baby. They can play as a baby. Okay, I have an 8 and a 6-year-old. They got their little samurai outfits, but no.
That's awesome.
35 years old, Donald. I'd rather pay the damn light bill.
I don't know, man.
$70 costume, $50 costume.
I do have trouble paying that light bill ever since I got that Ghostbuster shirt. Let's go out to the guest line and bring in Safed Dean, covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinels. So the Dolphins are still perfect, if you're going by the tanking metrics, still winless on the year. I'm a little bit nervous for this weekend because Adam Gase's Jets are really, really bad.
Yes.
Safed, is this the week that the tank could come crashing down?
You know what? I'm going all in on the Dolphins this week.
To win or to lose? Because I don't even
to
know.
To win this week.
Whoa.
I'm picking them to win this week. Listen, I think if there's any game for this Dolphins team to win, that even the fans would be like, you know what? I don't know about the number one pick, but I'm really glad we know that Adam Gase beat us. I think it's this week. It's a home game. You just showed in the last 3 weeks you've been competitive in the first half. You put some touchdowns on the board. You look like a competent team. And Adam Gase's Jets look really, really bad, like you said, man. They've got one win on the season. I'm sure Sam Darnold, they beat the Cowboys. That was a good game by them. But, man, every other week they look just as lost as the Dolphins have on the field.
Well, yeah.
I think there's any game for this team to win against a former coach, a guy who they essentially gave up on at the end of last year, and for them to play for pride, I think this is the week for the Dolphins.
Where do you come down on this new national narrative? And Steve Young did a lot to fuel this on Monday Night Countdown, talking about how tanking, it's putting people in danger. Now, to me, it's a little bit ironic that now we've got talking heads complaining about the Dolphins putting guys' safety at risk when for decades in college football, you've had like top five teams taking on FCS schools so the FCS school can make $500,000 and lose 94-0. Nobody seems to think there's any problem with the safety of these small schools, but now I've got Steve Young worried about the health of Miami Dolphins players. Where do you come down on that narrative?
Listen, I think on this 53-man roster, you have maybe 30, 35 guys, even upwards to maybe even 40. Guys who probably wouldn't even be on this team, on another NFL team, you know, because of their talent level and things like that. Some guys on the practice squad, some guys being signed and playing the same week they've been signed. A lot of players on this team are having an opportunity to have an NFL career, to get a paycheck, to put some film on, to kind of live up their NFL dreams. I'm kind of on that side of the whole tanking issue on the national narrative. I understand what those you know, what they're trying to say when you're trying to put a guy like Xavier Howard out there or Jesse Davis or Ryan Fitzpatrick. And you can look at Ryan Fitzpatrick as a prime example too. He's in his 8th NFL team. He's in his 15th year. A team is giving him an opportunity to start and continue playing. You know, for him, that's a golden opportunity that he might not get from any other team in this league. I understand what the NFL is trying to do here, especially with their narrative out here and the commentators talking about the Dolphins in this sense, that the Dolphins came out and deliberately said it since January. They're going to work and try to rebuild their roster and hopefully land that number one pick. You know, you see the Bengals now. You see the Falcons now. There's another 1-4 team. I think the Jets are in the mix too. You know, there's some other teams now. They're trying to be good. They haven't showed up that good. And now they're not known to be as, you know, a team that's tanky or whatever like that. But the Dolphins have got this because they have gone through this extensive rebuilding process. You know, I don't agree that the Dolphins are putting players out there on the line like that. I think these players are having an opportunity for their livelihood, for their careers. They're earning a paycheck, you know, and they're having an opportunity to live out their NFL dreams. You know, some players on this team, you know, that means more to them than the national narrative, what these people are trying to push.
And Drake leaving. They got rid of Drake, trade deadline, and they end up trading Drake to the Arizona Cardinals. Now that he's gone, bro, I know it's a secret that has to go with Drake, because every time I talk to y'all about Drake, you, Omar, Dave, y'all always kind of smile about it. Now that he's gone, you could tell me the secret. Was he a butt wipe or something? Why isn't Drake on this team anymore?
Was he a what? What did you say,
Kyle? A butt wipe. It has to be, bro, because it every time he gets the ball, Miami Miracle. I've seen him personally break, what, 4 or 5 60-yard runs throughout his time with the Dolphins. Like, we know he can play running back, but he averaged six carries a game as a Dolphin. Gase didn't believe in him. And now Flores and O'Shea comes in, they don't believe it. It's something more to Kenyon Drake that nobody's telling me. I want you to tell me right now, man.
Man, I wish I knew what to tell you, too, because I'm kind of on the same brick as you here. We're trying to figure out why Kenny Drake can never get on the field. We always talk about him every season. Is this the year he's going to be the standout rusher? Is this the year he's going to have 1,000 yards rushing? Is he going to own that running back position? They brought in Frank Gore last year. You brought in Mark Wallen this year. Look, man, Kenny Drake, he gets the job done on the field, but everything is just not there for them, whether it's, you know, he's not owning the playbook well, whether he's not practicing well, whether he's doing those things that he's unable to put it all together. You know, Kenyon Drake, essentially the Dolphins didn't want him anymore. They could have offered him an extension before, you know, during this offseason, even before that. They didn't do that. They did it with Xavier Howard. They did it with Jakeem Grant. And this Dolphins team, they don't value the running back position as much as that, where you want to pay a player to play in that position. I think Kenyon Drake's departure here, it's a clear-cut sign. The Dolphins need to draft a running back. And they got 3 first-round picks. They need to leave the first round with a running back here. This Dolphins team, they need players who can score touchdowns. They've got only about 7 touchdowns this season. You need guys to get into the end zone. I think that's going to be a major focus for the team this offseason, is landing one of those standout running backs in the draft.
We're joined by Safed Dean from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. So when April rolls around, let's just assume the Dolphins have the number one overall pick, which I'm not even positive they will, but just for argument's sake, Dolphins have the number one overall pick. There's a lot of chatter now that, hey, Chase Young is going to be the best player in this draft, not one of the quarterbacks. So if that's the consensus come April, that Chase Young from Ohio State, a pass rusher, is the best player overall, better than any of the quarterbacks, if you're the Dolphins, do you take the best overall quarterback or do you go with the pass rusher? Because to me, Safed, I don't believe you tank for pass rushers. I believe you tank for quarterbacks. So what would the Dolphins do in that spot?
We got a lot of time for now until April for the Dolphins to even figure this one out. And I think what's important to note here is the number of draft picks that you have, especially in the first 3 rounds. You got 3 in the first round, 2 in the second round this year. You got 2 and 2 in the first and second rounds next year, too. The Dolphins could put a trade package together if they wanted to really move up or move down, essentially, if they wanted to get into number 2, number 3, number 4 to get to a Tagovailoa. They could also see if any other team really wanted that number 1 pick, really wanted Chase Young, and trade down into 2, into 3, you know, to get their quarterback at a better value than taking that, you know, taking Chase Young with the number 1 pick. But also, why couldn't the Dolphins just take Chase Young and trade up? You know, there's so many different predicaments that the Dolphins could find themselves in here. And especially with Tua this season, you know, he hasn't really lived up to the true hype of being the standout quarterback, the true number 1 here. Joe Burrow is probably taking that reign from him a little bit because he's risen from where he was earlier this season. But I have to agree with you. Chase Young is by far, you know, the better player in college right now this year. A lot of people are saying that he's better than both of the Bosas, you know, who went, you know, in the top 3 the last 2 drafts. So I'm interested to see how it all unfolds here. But the Dolphins have a lot of cards on the table. They have draft picks to trade up. They could trade down from 1. You know, they have a lot of options on the table they're going to have to explore from now until April and try to figure this thing out.
Safed, can you explain Aqib Talib to me? Because he's already on IR now. They trade for him, but he's not going to play. Like, can you explain that whole what happened yesterday to me with Aqib Talib?
This is very much like an NBA trade in the NFL. Things that you never really see in the NFL, where a team is going to take on the salary cap. Talib is owed $4.2 million the rest of the season. Dolphins got some money to spend. They'll go ahead and spend it. They're going to pay him out. Talib is on injured reserve. He had a ribs injury earlier this season. He's eligible to come back, I believe, in week 15. So So at that point, you got three games left. Will he come back? I'm not sure. I don't think so. I don't think he even has to come back. But he's eligible to come back. The Dolphins could give him a run, try to see if he has anything left in the tank there. You know, we're talking about a five-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion. He's also 33 years old. So maybe the Dolphins get him in, maybe see if, you know, he practices a couple weeks, see if they want to sign him in the offseason because they're going to need a cornerback as they have for the last couple years. But this has been a salary cap move. You know, the Dolphins are going to pay off Tlaib's contract. They got that fifth-round pick from the Rams too. That's another pick. I think that's up to 14 now that you already have without thinking about compensatory picks in the draft. The Dolphins are adding up their draft capital, man. If they have to make a move to get anybody, those draft picks are going to come in play here.
You know, as a guy who covered the latter part of the Adam Gase era in Miami, what's it like watching the New York media and New York Jets fans figure out what a fraud that guy is? Because when he started there, Safid, you know, you had the Manish Mehtas of the world blowing a lot of smoke. This guy, it's an inspired hire. He's going to get the best out of Sam Darnold. And then I can't help but notice that the complaints people are making about the way Gase is calling plays and the way he's handling the media are the exact same complaints that people who observe the Dolphins have had for the last 3 years.
You know, it's funny to me. It's comical. It's comical to a lot of people. And sometimes, too, I feel a little bit bad for Adam a little bit, too. You got to look at his season, man. Sam Darnold was out with mono. He missed, like, I think, four games because of it. Adam Gase had to start back, you know, Luke Falk, the quarterback he had here with the Dolphins for a couple of those games. He hasn't had a starting quarterback. He hasn't had his team at full power for much of this season. And now, you know, their record is shown for it. And he's getting absolutely crushed for, you know, starting a second-string quarterback, starting a third-string quarterback when his starting quarterback got sick and has missed much of the season too. And especially in that New York market where, as we've seen with him, it's not forgiving. It's not a forgiving, you know, media market. The Jets are not a forgiving fan base. A little bit of me does feel bad for Adam Gase, but, you know, this is a situation that he finds himself in here. The Dolphins and Gase, they, you know, agreed to part ways. The Dolphins fired him after last season. The Dolphins knew what they wanted to do after last season. They wanted to start this rebuild. A guy like Adam Gase in his fourth season, you know, after a 7-win campaign last year, wasn't about that. He wasn't going to lose games, you know, or have a roster that's not good enough to win games when he's in his fourth season, and he could have gotten fired after this season if he was still with the Dolphins coach here too. So, you know, Sunday's game, two teams, 1-14 record, I think. Yeah. Just one win the last 10 weeks, you know, the last 10 games for both these teams here. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be really interesting to see how the Dolphins play this game, how they come out, how they perform, how the Jets perform as Gase, you know, tries to run up the score on the Dolphins if he has the opportunity to, if the Jets are playing well, how the Dolphins try to do a 4th-and-20 play, you know, and try to mess things up if they need to keep this losing streak going on here. But I'm really interested to see how this game plays out for both teams on Sunday.
What's the best Halloween candy?
Ooh, I'm a chocolate guy, man. I like chocolate. I like Kit Kat, Snickers. If you give me the bigger size, even better.
Yeah, I love it.
No, fruit candy, man.
Oh, fruit candy.
You need Starburst. You need Skittles. The blue pack Skittles. Yeah. The blue pack.
It gets stuck in your teeth, man. Yeah. Then I got to go, like, dig for it, you know, chocolate. I agree with you with the costume, though. I agree with you with the costume. I'm not spending no damn money on a damn costume I'm not going to wear again, you know?
My man.
Listen, man.
You know, I used to work at a shoe store, man. I kept a Foot Locker shirt, and I was a referee for like 3 years straight in college, dude.
That's smart. My man is frugal. I like it. But the candy in your teeth, man, you can taste it later on. Three hours later, you pick it out, and you get that extra little flavor.
Yeah, then I got to pack more candy in to fill the cavity. You know what I'm saying?
See, he knows. I'm with Safed on this one. Great stuff as always, my friend. Safed Dean.
Safed, one more thing, man, because we're at, 0-7 now with the Dolphins. The season, you know, the season's not going to have a lot of excitement, man. When you and Omar do the Sun Sentinel videos, can you slap him? That would be the highlight of my year.
Crowd, you hit my Cash App with a quick $100, man. I'll do whatever you want.
For honey? You'll do for honey? Oh, my goodness.
I'll do for a quick hundo.
I got you. I'm gonna give you a tip. I'm gonna shoot 120 to you.
I got 50 on that.
I'll throw in 10.
Yeah. Oh, you got 50? All right, cool. Let's see. If I get that up to $1,000, man, we'll make that happen.
Oh, we can for sure. Hey, no jokes off it, Solano. We can for sure raise $1,000 from listeners to get Omar slapped.
I already see like 20 pledges on the text line.
My Cash App, my Venmo, they're the same as my Twitter name, @Soffit_Dean. Let's run that up, guys.
Love it. Great stuff. And he hit the promo on the way out for social media. This is a pro right here. Soffit, enjoy the game this weekend.
You guys too. Have a good one.
How much, Crowder, how much would somebody have to send you to slap me?
Blue Skittles.
Small pack.
Like, would I get in trouble?
Family pack. I wouldn't report you to HR or anything.
I was gonna say because I don't have no problem slapping nobody, but I don't want to get arrested. Or
no,
sued.
I would take it like a man. No,
well,
I got a cold ass attorney.
I just don't want to get sued.
I don't really believe in that. Like, it's got to be. Well, I mean, I don't. It's got to be really egregious, right? Like, I know people. Oh, they find like a hair in their enchilada. They want to sue Taco Bell. You hear stories like that, like. That's just life to me, right? Like sometimes life throws you curveballs. I'm not going to sue over something like that.
I read a story of a guy suing Popeyes because he had to drive to too many Popeyes to find the sandwich. And he said his car has wear and tear and he has emotional damage.
Like his alignment was way off. Yeah. The wheels were screwed up.
$5,000 because he drove from Popeyes to Popeyes. Yeah. See, that's why I'm scared. I'm scared of getting sued, man.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.